The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome in on this Monday, the final week of June. And if you were with us on Friday afternoon, we told you about the terribly sad news about the loss of Terry Price from Texas A&M, the great player there in the late 80s, the coach for so many great people. He had just an amazing career, not only as a player. Then he went on to Auburn for many, many years under Tommy Tuberville. He went back to his alma mater and coached for Kevin Sumlin and Jimbo Fisher. And the man who he played for in college, who was the defensive coordinator at the time, and later the head coach, is R.C. Slocum. And we're always honored to speak to Coach, especially on a day like today. First of all, Coach, good afternoon. Thanks so much for making time for us.
You're welcome, Paul. It's good to talk to you.
Coach, I know it was, I read just a couple of days ago, you were recovering from eye surgery when you went to go see your friend and former player, and you knew it would probably be the last time. Could you share that story with us?
Well, I'd been keeping in touch with his wife and his mother in Houston, and I just found out about it like on Saturday morning, I guess, that he was in the hospital down there. I tried to call him on Friday evening, and he didn't return my call, which was very unusual. So Saturday morning, I called him again, and his wife answered his phone. He was in the hospital then. So I talked on Sunday, and then Monday morning I was scheduled to have an early morning cataract surgery on my eye. And so I let my wife keep my phone while I was in surgery. And during that time, we got a call from Kendra, his wife, Kenya, and she said, you know, Coach is going to come see Terry. You probably ought to come pretty soon. So I didn't even go home. We got out of there. I asked the doctor. He said, well, you can't drive, and if your wife can drive it, you can go. And I said, we're going. So we took off to Houston. I went down there and saw him, his wife and mother, and son, Devin was with him. And got a chance to visit. He was hooked up to everything you could be hooked up to, I think. He was intubated and couldn't talk to me, but his eyes rolled over there, and we talked, and I spent quite a bit of time with him, and I know he was very much aware I was there, and toward the end of my visit, I said, son, let me pray for you, man, and I got a chance to hold his hand there and pray over him and tell him how much I loved him. And I was concerned when I left there that might be my last chance to see him on this side. I do have hope of seeing him again someday.
We're chatting with R.C. Slocum, as we all remember Coach Price. Coach, that was sadly the end for you and Coach, among at least as you said. But I want to go back to the beginning when you first laid eyes on this young man and saw him as a prospect and later as a player. Let's go back in time and tell us about it.
I was assistant. I was defensive coordinator for Jackie Sherrill, and Dallas is my recruiting area. So Plano High School was one of the absolute premier programs in Texas. And Terry was a great player. So I knew about him at an early age and was planning on recruiting him. And out in spring recruiting, his dad, coach told me that he and his father had talked. They knew Terry was going to be a highly recruited young man, but they had come to the conclusion that it would be in his best interest to not have any recruiting calls during the fall. And I said, okay. I mean, I'd never heard of that before. And it was obvious he was going to be highly recruited. I said, if any school violates that, that school will get X'd off the list. And I said, okay. So I didn't call him. It's very uncomfortable to have a player of his magnitude and not to be able to touch base. And they said, when the season's over, allowed to call and set up an appointment, and we'll decide which schools we'll allow to come in the home and make your case. So I was pleased when we were at least, I was invited to come to the home and state my case, and then they thanked me, and the dad says, "Coach, we'll let you know if we're going to visit your school." I said, "Okay, thanks." I leave. And it's really, I probably worked less on, he was one of the great players that I ever recruited, and I probably did less to recruit him than he. I couldn't do anything. So I left, and about a week later or so, the dad called, and they knew all the recruiting, potential recruiting weekends. They said, "Coach, we're going to take 5 trips, going to take all visits. We've got you on the last weekend." And I said, "Well, that's great, but you know, it makes me a little uncomfortable because those schools ahead of us, they will be doing everything they can to keep Terry from taking all of his visits, especially knowing we're the last one." They said, "Coach, if somebody does that, they'll get X off the list." I said, "Okay." So, sure enough, they show up on the last weekend. They come down. Terry comes, and he's got on a coat and tie. And I've never seen him. All my years recruiting, I think he's the only one I ever saw that showed up wearing a coat and tie on his recruiting trip. His dad had on a coat and tie. And his mom and dad came down, and he spent the weekend, and they thanked me and thanked us on Sunday afternoon and said, "Coach, we'll let you know when we reach a decision." And so I said, "Oh, okay." So I go to Dallas. I said, "I'll be up there. You call me, and I'll come over," or whatever, you know. So I go to the hotel. Tuesday night, I'm in the hotel. It's about 7:30, and I haven't heard anything. You know, of course, Jackie's calling me, won't know if I've heard anything. And so I had my baby up there with me in the hotel, and we got to talking. So we came up with a little plan. So I said, "Dang, there got to be no one here. Soon the sign of date's in the morning." So we got Davey to call. This is Mr. Price. "Yes, I'm Bob Jones with USA Today. We're doing a big story on all of our top recruits in the morning, and we want your son in that story. Has he reached a decision?" And he says, "No, we haven't, but we're meeting right now as a family. If you want to call back in 30 minutes or an hour, we'll have an answer for you." He said, "Okay, thank you, sir." He hung up. About 15 minutes later, phone rings. It's Terry Price. Says, "Coach, I'm going to be an Aggie." I said, "Oh, that's great, man." And so we never said anything. When Terry got down here in the fall, I said, "Terry, the night before your signing date, do you remember USA Today calling you?" And he said, "Yeah, Coach." He said, "God, I never called back." I said, "That was Coach Davey that called you." So I talked to his mother about that story last Monday when I was down there, and she still got a little smile out of that one.
That is amazing. I realize today's not the day, but as you were telling that story, I thought about that, Coach, and you juxtapose that with what's going on today, and it's pretty remarkable how well they had everything buttoned down.
Well, I told his mother this week, there are some of my players that I coach that I would take a little bit of credit in being an influence on how they turned out. But in Terry's case, I don't think I can take any credit for that, or Jackie or me or him, because he had it all down when he got here. He had had great training with his family. He was a bright young man and a good person. We never had one bit of problem out of him. He played for us his senior year. I was the head coach by then. He was all-conference player, honorable mention All-American. Went to pro football for 2 or 3 years and came back and said, I want to go into coaching. I said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Coach, it's a lot of hard work, long hours." I said, "You can do whatever you want to do." He said, "Coach, I want to be a coach." So I said, "Okay, I've got a spot for you. You can be a graduate assistant." So fortunately, Tom Tuberville was working for me at that time. And we were all very impressed with Terry. So Tom ended up taking him to Ole Miss with him. They took him on to Auburn. And one of the neat deals, one year, he and them was playing Auburn. I went over on the sideline, and Pat Nye was on the sideline. And he came over to talk to me. Terry came over to talk to both of us, you know. And Pat says, "You don't want to see that boy Terry Price. He won a hell of a football coach." I said, "Pat, that means a lot coming from you. You've seen a lot of good coaches, you know." But anyway, he was a special guy, and it's just so sad. He was an important part of A&M's program. He'd have those kids over at his house and barbecue, and they loved him, not just his position, but the other guys, you know, and the coaches. He was a unique person, just a wonderful human being and a great coach. He cared about the guys he coached is what really made him special.
Coach, I was reading so many of the tributes from his former players, as you know, from, you know, those who have gone first in the draft to just your hardworking guy, and they all embodied what you said. I can't thank you enough for helping us remember Coach Price here at the beginning of the program. You be well, Coach, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, thanks, Paul. Talk to you later.
What an incredible conversation with R.C. Slocum, who is a Hall of Fame coach in his own right, remembering the story of Terry Price, who he recruited and coached and later saw the impression and the influence that Coach Price had on so many young players. We appreciate that very much. So we'll take a short break here as we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So we've already talked to Coach, and we have Stefan Krajniak on in a minute. Pete will join us next hour, and McMurphy in the final half of the first half of the second half of the show. You just heard the crew air there talking about Game 3. That's what you wait for all year in the college baseball season, and you have LSU and Florida. We'll preview it in great detail later on. First two games, it's quite a disproportionate number on the right-hand side of the screen, but that doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is winner tonight is the national champion. McMurphy, mo' money, mo' problems, as that July 1st date is around the corner. It was at this moment last year chaos broke out in the Big Ten. Angel Reese, not having any problems with money. She is cleaning up. She's a basketball player, by the way. She's getting into Nick Saban territory and making money. Manning camp was this weekend, and who was the big star? Who else? Joe Milton. Stefan Krajniak from the USA Today Network joins us. Stefan, thank you for the time. Great to have you here. This is always a big moment in the summer when we find out who shines, and pretty apparent. It was Joe Milton. Good afternoon, and tell us all about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. It's like you said, I think going into the event, you know, knowing the workouts and the competitions that they have, you know, Peyton Manning himself said that he doesn't think there's ever been a quarterback with more hype around him for the throwing challenge than Joe Milton. He lived up to it, throwing a ball a couple times about, you know, 70-plus yards down the field, clean through the air. It was pretty amazing to watch. And like you said, he kind of walks away, you know, being the star and stealing the show there. And obviously the connections that he has at Tennessee with Peyton, too, it was kind of cool to see, you know, their relationship off the field, what it's like, and combined with, you know, that arm talent, it certainly, you know, creates some energy around Tennessee going into the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have all the Mannings there, two quarterbacks, obviously, and Cooper, who's got a quarterback for a son. I mean, not to just keep hitting the same chord here, but each one of them was gaga over Joe Milton. Was it all about their arm strength? What else did they say?
Yeah, I think the arm strength was definitely the number one thing. But, you know, from talking to Peyton specifically, I mean, he talked a lot about, you know, getting to know Joe off the field, kind of, you know, his approach, his, you know, want to be a sort of a perfectionist, want to be the guy that, you know, takes Tennessee to that next level. And I think you see, you know, Peyton sees a lot of those qualities, those intangibles that you look for in a quarterback with a guy like Joe Milton. And, you know, you combine that with the arm talent, I think that's kind of what, you know, create so much of that hype, and you see the potential there of, you know, if it can be pieced together properly, right, if he can stay healthy and provide what Tennessee needs, I think, you know, people close to that program, you know, specifically Peyton in this case, you know, see the potential of having a really good season here.
Take us behind the scenes in Thibodeau, because, you know, this is a big moment on the calendar. You know, Peyton Manning, sometimes people like this will drop in and drop out, but from what I understand, I've never been there like you. I mean, he's really involved. Tell us what you witnessed in terms of Peyton and as well as Eli, for that matter.
Yeah, kind of like what you were saying there. I mean, they're, you know, how involved they are. You know, Paul, as you know, I cover Mississippi State full time, and, you know, I spoke to Will Rogers a bit. This was his third time going there, and I asked him, you know, what is it about this event that, you know, keeps you coming back? I think it's normal for some quarterbacks to come one year and maybe not another, but, you know, what made him want to come back? He talked about how, you know, when they're spread out and they're working with these kids, you know, the college quarterbacks, they serve as kind of camp counselors for some of the younger kids. I know the show that they put on a competition kind of, you know, steals the headline, but really what the camp is surrounded by is, you know, younger kids getting a chance to learn under these counselors. And Will said that, you know, when they're out there and he's working with these kids, you know, Peyton will go and work one-on-one with some of these, you know, some of the youth players there. Eli does the same. You know, they're very involved, like you were saying, to the point where, you know, I walked over to where Joe Milton and Will Rogers were kind of holding their drills and working with kids. And, you know, Peyton was there throwing, you know, footballs into a garbage can. They were having a competition. If Peyton's team lost, you know, he was down, you know, doing push-ups and things of that nature. So you could see that, you know, their involvement matters a lot to these college quarterbacks and matters a lot to these kids. And, you know, Will Rogers said himself, it would have been really easy for the Mannings to just kind of put their name on this and, you know, not be there. But they're there every year. They're really involved. And you can see why, you know, these college quarterbacks and these kids keep wanting to come to this event and why it's become, I would probably say, the premier, you know, quarterback summer football camp, whatever you want to call it, in the country.
Stephon, speaking of Will Rogers, what did you glean from him and what are your expectations this fall for the Bulldogs?
You know, this was one of the few cases where, you know, I had the chance to talk to Will and, you know, really kind of talk about his, you know, personal game and his goals in football. He's the type of guy where, you know, if you're around him during the season or at a press conference after the game, he doesn't really talk about, you know, himself too much. He talks about, you know, just, you know, what you'd expect from a quarterback in that case. He'll talk about, you know, Mississippi State winning games. But in this situation, really had a chance to talk about, you know, his hopes to be an NFL quarterback, kind of make it to the next level. And, you know, I asked him, well, you've got the label of you but from a lot of people saying that you're a system quarterback. You put up the numbers that you did at Mississippi State, you know, working in Mike Leach's air raid offense. What does that look like now with Kevin Barbey? And he seems pretty confident that, you know, being able to show that, you know, he can put up impressive numbers, that he can win games in a different system, a system that maybe runs the ball a bit more than the air raid, can help his NFL stocks. He you know, he's got a chance to, or he believes that he's got a chance to be an NFL quarterback and make his name in that league and get selected, whether it be next year if he decides to come back for a COVID year, the year after that. So as much as maybe his numbers are going to dip this season and not be the numbers that you saw when, you know, he was throwing it 50 or 60 times in a game, he thinks that he can still showcase, you know, that potential of being a really good quarterback.
Great stuff from Stephon. Thank you very, very much. Really appreciated you joining us. We'll talk to you soon as this football season nears. As we head to the break, we are about to open the phone lines here at 855-242-7285. Long way to go on this Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back, and David starts us off as we say hello to you. Good afternoon, David.
Hey, Paul.
Thanks for calling. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
We're doing well.
Great. I just want to send my condolences out to the Texas A&M family. Coach Price was a great coach. Followed him through some of his career. He had a lot of great players go to the NFL, and he's going to be missed. It reminds me of how short life is because he was only 2 years older than I am. So, but our prayers are with Texas A&M family, his family. But, Paul, I heard something this morning, and I read something, and then I heard folks talking about it. What's this going on about LSU going to have some sanctions coming down in football and basketball?
Well, the sanctions in football are that they'll have to forfeit a number of games. Vacate a number of games. Essentially, it means nothing. It means that Les Miles will have those wins stripped from his resume. But it doesn't mean anything to the LSU football program. And quite frankly, it doesn't mean a whole lot to the basketball program. So it's much ado about nothing, to quote a famous British writer you may have heard of. Doug is in Tulsa. Good afternoon. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Paul. I hope you had a great weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know I did. I got a question here. I was thinking about as my beloved Sooners move to the SEC soon enough, what about the NIL versus the facilities race that's been going on for the last 30 or 40 years in college football and other sports? And there has to be a balance between universities, you know, spending energy and money and with their boosters and all that, between facilities, upgrade facilities, and the NIL and I'm curious about, you know, if you've heard or how universities are dealing with that, because I imagine right now that they're trying to prioritize NIL, you know, to get players money. But at the same time, they also have to worry about facilities and keeping up with the Joneses on that.
Yeah, Doug, it's a really tough question to answer, other than to say that priority one right now, 2, 3, 4, and 5, is getting players to your program. And I don't know if facilities per se are going to get hurt. Now, football facilities are fine. I think, like Alabama was talking about a new basketball arena. That's clearly on the back of the burner right now. Other things will be, but what you do is you prioritize, and it's football runs the show. And from a university standpoint, other things are going to be hurt. It not to quote Introduction to Economics, but there's no such thing as a free lunch. It's the first thing you learn when you study economics. And it's the same way here. You have to find that, you have to figure out, you have to go out and get as much money as you can to supply the football program, to essentially buy players. That's what you're doing. And then what do you have left? And somebody suffers. We probably haven't seen it yet because we're still in the embryonic stage of NIL. It's 2 years old this week. But at some point, there'll be a reckoning, and I think that's one reason why you see so many athletic directors saying, I've had enough of this.
Yeah, I know that Oklahoma is needing to build a new basketball arena as well, and I know they're wanting to build a baseball stadium. They're in the middle of building a softball stadium, so they're looking at upgrading, trying to make sure that they're SEC ready. But I know at the same time, you know, they're also battling – you know, these other teams for NIL, because it is about paying players now. And that's, you know, and so I'm just, you know, I think that's just going to be an interesting topic in the future.
Thank you very much. And by the way, nobody likes it, but it's a reality, and it's no longer something you whisper about. It's right out there for everyone to see. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Bruce is up next in Florida. Hey, Bruce.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to make a comment on the coach from Florida.
Okay.
About the game yesterday. When he had a 10-run lead, the coach from LSU pretty much cleared the bench and put the players in. So they could kind of experience the final game, Rosenblatt Stadium. Any other coach would class, and I don't think Scully has an ounce of class, would have done the same so his players could experience a play. Instead, he kept playing. And, Paul, frankly, I think he's poked the hornet's nest with this.
Bruce, we're talking about Kevin O'Sullivan here, and I don't know because I quit watching the game. It was 12, 14-point run differential. And what is he supposed to do? He brought in other players.
Bench play the game.
To tell his players to go up to the plate in the national championship series and not try to get on base?
No, what I'm saying is he could have played the reserves and let them experience.
I thought he did. I thought he put in a bunch of reserves late in the game.
No, he kept his first string in all the way to the end. And like I said, he's a classless coach as far as I'm concerned. And I hope he poked the hornet's nest and riled up Paul Skeens, Ty Floyd, because Skeens on 3 days rest, they won't be able to hit. I don't care what they say.
Listen, he's the best player in college baseball and certainly the best pitcher. But, you know, we just heard the guys out in Omaha say they do not think he'll play unless he comes in late. Certainly at 10 runs, the game was over, but it's not his fault. I once asked Steve Spurrier that question. I said, we were playing golf one day and he was loose. And I said, why do you run the score up? Why do you have to win 55-3? Why do you have to, you know, beat Kentucky 67-7? And you know what he said? He said, my job is to score points. It's their job to stop me. It really as simple as that. And let's see what Dwayne thinks about it. He's an LSU Tiger fan.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum.
What do you got, Dwayne?
Let me tell you something.
What about that game yesterday? Did you stay with it?
Yeah, I don't worry about that game yesterday. They deserve it because they look like they played. Hey, the first game we had them, we could have put the same score up on them the first game because we had the bases loaded three times on them at LSU.
Dwayne, when I saw the score this morning, 24-4, I thought, did LSU get – hey, Dwayne, did LSU get two safeties? Is that what happened?
Hey, Paul Feinbaum, let me tell you something, Paul Feinbaum. Dylan Cruz better show up tonight. Thompson, that shortstop, he better show up tonight. You know what I'm saying? Cause, hey, and Joe and the other cat, Barrow, what his name is, Barr, whatever his name is. The
whatever his name is, he better show up. Hitter. I don't know his name, but he better show up.
The seven hitter, the eight hitter, and the nine hitter for LSU, they're in the slump. The seven hitter and the eight hitter is like three.
You're playing on the final game of the year in college baseball, and you're upset about a slump.
Hey, they better show up tonight. Hey, Dylan Cruz better show up tonight.
You guys beat the number one team in the country.
He better find a way tonight.
You lost one game. Get over it.
I don't care. I want to lose none. I told you we're going to win the championship. I told you that already.
You know what, Dwayne? If I could analyze this, I think you're scared to death about tonight.
Man, I'm scared worth the crap. Hey, take this out.
You just lost a baseball game by 20 runs. How many people can say, I was on the losing side of a baseball game and we lost by 20 runs?
Hey, all men's on deck tonight. All 27 players on deck tonight. Steve's is coming to play tonight. Steve's coming out tonight. We're on a four-game rest. We're on a 3-4-game rest. He's going to play tonight. He definitely playing tonight. Yeah, he definitely – he won't come in the third or the fourth inning. He coming in the third or the fourth inning and shut it down.
Dwayne, let me ask you. I guess you're watching the game, right?
Yeah, I'm watching the game.
Do you have a box of Kleenex nearby?
Man, no, Paul. Paul, I've been telling you all year what we going to do. I told you the basketball team won. The baseball team gonna win. The football team gonna set a record this year again. Hey!
Well, I hope you're right. I got so excited. I got all my purple and gold gear on yesterday, and it was over fast.
Brian Kelly, it's man up time. Brian Kelly, hey, the man now, did it
Brian
in 2 years.
Brian Kelly's not coaching tonight. This is a different sport. Thanks for the call. Dr. Steven is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I got an issue. I'm kind of talking with Bruce. I don't care if Florida plays their first line players through the whole game, but the analogous situation that I'm going to talk about would be you're ahead 21 points in a football game in the fourth quarter. You got the ball on the other team's 2-yard line with 20 seconds to go. You take a knee.
I agree.
Yesterday, they had a 17-3 lead. They got a runner on first base, and they stole second base.
Okay.
Now, you explain to me the rationale for stealing second base when you got a 17-3 lead. I can tell you what. If I'd have been the LSU coach, I'd have told the LSU catcher, wave that runner over to third and wave him into home and give him the damn run. That was classless.
Okay.
That was absolutely classless. Stealing, it's the analogous same thing as taking a knee on the 2-yard line.
Well,
you don't steal a base when you're up 17.
I agree with you on taking the knee at the end of the game. I totally agree. You're in the middle of a baseball game. Listen, I don't know enough to – everybody's entitled to their opinion, and we'll continue getting your opinions right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back. Didn't expect the big story of the day to be whether Kevin O'Sullivan ran up the score yesterday against LSU. But a couple of LSU fans have made that the topic du jour. Squirrel is up next.
If the LSU baseball nation is going to call in and whine about that epic ass whipping that Florida put on them yesterday, this may be one of the greatest shows in Feinbaum history. I have never heard such whining and moaning in my life. And I didn't know there was take a knee in baseball. I played since I was maybe 6 years old, and I played up until I was like my second year of college in the under 20 league. And I don't remember ever there was a take a knee.
Squirrel, isn't there a moment baseball when you quit playing T-ball and actually get on the diamond that you're supposed to try to win?
Yeah, I thought these were like college players that were, you know, at the top of their game and things of that nature. And to hear them, to hear this LSU Tiger Nation whining, like, I mean, it's just as epic. I mean, you know, I just love it.
And by the way, you're playing the most powerful team in the country, and a 12-run lead may not be enough if something, you know.
Exactly.
You don't know.
You can have a bad inning, and somebody can hang 8, 9, 10 runs on you in a heartbeat. What do? Bring the scrubs back out and put your starters back
well,
in?
Well, then you ask the other coach, listen, I let you back in, so why can we just call this even and we'll see you tomorrow night?
You know what Florida should have done in the ninth inning, Paul?
What's
they
that?
Should have lobbed the ball underhanded to LSU. I'm serious. Let them get a couple
they
of
could
runs.
Have, like,
let
said,
like
a popcorn vendor to come down and pitch
I
the final inning.
I would have lobbed it underhanded to him, just like the over 50 softball league at the church league. But this, please, LSU fans, continue calling in with your bitching and moaning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, this was unexpected. We had scheduled around this today, but we may have made a mistake. Marty is in New Orleans.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, sir?
Marty, we're doing great.
Well, man, I'm a big LSU fan, but I'm not calling the wine. First of all, let me extend condolences to the coach and to the A&M family. I mean, between him and Mike Leach, I mean, you got to start appreciating these guys.
You're right.
For more than just the, you know, the football seasons and all. It sounds like, you know, I kind of agree with that last caller, even though I'm a super LSU fan. I mean, it looks like Augie's got a lot of family.
The Augie family reunion is going on right now in a phone booth somewhere in New Orleans because they're all calling.
Let me tell you, first of all, LSU had several 10-run, what do you call it, 10-run during the course of the year.
Oh, sure.
And nobody whined about it. You just took the loss. You know, the 10-run rule, they had several of those. Here's the way I look at it, and I just like to get this out. It's like, they said in Top Gun, man, I mean, we crashed and burned last night. To me, that doesn't take away the entire season, what we accomplished and all that. It's like that last call I just said. And calls like you've been getting does take away from it. And I really don't like that. The way I look at it is like this. And hear what I say to that last caller, who I respected what he said, and to the Florida fans. You know, I say to you, if the team you did that to beat you tonight for the championship, that sure does equalize a lot of things in my mind. Then it becomes more comical than reality, and it's just something that we remember forever, you know, but not, you can't forget that we won a championship, and that's what I'm looking to do. I'm hoping that we win tonight, and that settles a lot of things, and I don't think Florida's gonna whine if they lose a championship. I mean, it's just not like that. I'm a little disappointed in Tiger Nation for that.
Well, thank you very, very much. Cindy is up next in Florida. Hello, Cindy.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
How's your dog?
He is fantastic. Doesn't like hot weather, but he's doing great.
Nobody ever asked about him, and I've had two of them. They're great dogs.
Well, thank you.
I want to call and about everybody complaining about Florida. We do something good, people complain. And right now, should we win tonight, we will be the only team in the nation to have a football, a basketball, and a baseball championship.
Yeah, well, Cindy, it would be the only one to have multiple championships in all three. You're absolutely right.
And nobody else in the SEC has it. And I think that's wonderful for the SEC.
Sure it is.
And, you know, it. As far as us beating them 24 to like we did, it's like Steve Spurrier said, we are there to win. They're supposed to stop us.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
No, and by the way, stealing bases is part of baseball. You don't stop. Once you stop playing, you're going to hurt yourself. That's not the esprit de corps that the head coach wants as we face the final night of the year. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.